every day. You, it could be 6 months. For you, it could be 1 year. For you, it could be 6 years. But whatever it is, if God is in it, God will come through. Hallelujah. We say that a close look at the death and the resurrection of Jesus leads us to this major truth. And that truth is, a faithful submission to God creates room for divine purpose to triumph over human weakness. We went to town on that last week, on Friday rather. We said a faithful submission to God creates room for divine purpose to triumph over human weakness. You look at your life and you say, man, I'm a weak person. What good can come out of my life? What good can come out of my clan? But when we are submitted to God, I want you to understand that His divine purposes will come to fruition. Glory be to God. So whenever you face a situation, I want you to know that you will always have two choices. The one choice is to align yourself with divine process, or to align yourself with human process. There will always be a divine process. There will always be a way that God will take you, where the Lord will lead you in a certain way. And it's usually not very comfortable. But there's another way that human nature will take you. And on the surface, it looks like it's comfortable. It looks like this is doable. It looks like I can do this. But your victory is determined by which alignment you will go with. And in that regard, we learned three keys on Friday. Number one, we said, divine purpose prevails when devotion defeats disloyalty. Divine purpose will always prevail when devotion defeats disloyalty. I don't have time to go into that. You can go listen to that message. And the second truth we learned was, divine purpose prevails when grace overcomes judgment. Divine purpose prevails when grace overcomes judgment. And the third truth was this, divine purpose prevails when humility conquers self-sufficiency. And I'm sure those of you who are not there like, hey, what was that? I want to go hear that. Please go and listen and the Lord will just bless you. Amen. Now I want us to continue this morning. We are going straight into the garden. Mark 14 verse 32. The Bible says, they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Verse 34, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Now, one would have thought that since Jesus was God, he would not be troubled in his soul. One would think that because he was both God and human, he would be able to go to the God side of his life and therefore run away from sorrow. No. One would think that he would not be overwhelmed by what he was about to go through. I want you to understand that Jesus was fully human and fully God, and therefore he could not run away from the emotions of being human. He could not run away from the pain that any human being would feel. And this tells us that though he was fully man, fully God, Jesus was also fully man who was filled with weaknesses. Some people would say, well, because he was fully God, there was nothing weak about Jesus. For you to look at the life of Jesus, you would then understand that he needed God. Therefore, he spent a lot of time with God in prayer. And this would make us appreciate the pain he endured on the cross. Therefore, you should not be surprised when you go through moments of confusion and moments of pain in your own life. Moments where you feel overwhelmed and overpowered by a situation. Your master felt overpowered. Because he knew exactly what was before him. He understood the gravity of the matter. Listen, it's not that you will not feel overwhelmed, but it's what you do in moments of being overwhelmed. It's not that I will not feel overcome. It's not that I will not feel weak. I will feel weak, but what do I do in that moment of feeling overwhelmed? What do I do in that moment of being so grieved in my spirit, man, that I don't know what to do with myself? King David would come to those places and he would say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, whenever you are faced with those moments, you have two ways of approaching difficult moments. Look at verse 34. The Lord Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed. That was one way, and that is one way we can respond to those difficult moments in our lives. The second way is in verse 37. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. So you can either be like Jesus, who prays through moments of difficulty, or you can be like Peter and the other disciples who sleep through moments of difficulties. The choice is ours. So the fourth dimension of the purpose of God prevailing is this. Divine purpose prevails when prayer overcomes the spirit of slumber. Divine purpose prevails when prayer overcomes the spirit of slumber. And in those moments where it is difficult and nobody seems to understand where you are, we must look to Jesus. In those moments where your world feels like it's falling apart, we must look to Jesus. Because at some point it felt like his world was falling apart. We must look to Jesus and see how he dealt with those moments. And what did Jesus do? Instead of being worried about how to deal with the cross, instead of looking for man's help, instead of looking for a hiding place, Jesus went down to his knees. Sometimes when we are in those moments of financial constraints, it is easy for us to think of that rich uncle. Who can help us? Isn't it? It's easy. You quickly start thinking. You'll go through your phone list. Like, who can help me here? Ah, this guy, I know he is loaded. You know, this guy receives SASSA grants at the end of every month. He can help me. What am I talking about? Your response to a situation matters. What Jesus was facing was unprecedented. It was a monumental moment because it went beyond physical pain. The whole destiny of humanity was hinging on that moment. So it wasn't just the pain of going through the cross. It was about, if I fail right now, what will happen to humanity? That was the issue that Jesus was facing. That is why the Bible says he was so distressed. Sometimes we think it was just the stress of the pain that he was going to face. No, he understood that destiny was hanging in the balance. And for many of us here, we face moments where destiny is hanging in the balance. And what you do in those moments matters. Sometimes we don't appreciate what's at the stake. We don't understand what is before us, and therefore we don't go the route of prayer. But Jesus knew that this is not just about the nails I'm about to face. This is not just about the pain I'm going to go through. This is about destiny. This is about the future of humanity. This is about what the Father envisaged happening from the beginning. And therefore, the stress that Jesus was undergoing in the Garden of Gethsemane went beyond the pain of the cross. And the enemy was out in full force, throwing ideas, suggestions in the mind of Jesus. And listen, whenever you go through pain, I want you to know the enemy has got a lot of ideas for pain on how we can fix the situation, what we need to do differently. But the Lord Jesus, in that moment, he knew what he needed to do. This requires prayer. It doesn't require human intervention. And he went before the Lord in prayer. Jesus knew better. He had seen this before and knew that no amount of physical stamina was going to see him through. No amount of human wisdom will see you through what you're going through right now. He needed the Father's strength. But on the other side, the disciples of Jesus were too sorrowful. And the spirit of slumber overcame them. They slept. I mean, we can stand here right now and accuse them of being too of sleeping on the job. We can accuse them and say, how could they do that? Their master called them and said, watch with me. Pray with me, guys. I need you to pray with me. But the Bible tells us that they were so overcome with sorrow and grief that their bodies shut down. And therefore, I understand you. When your system shuts down on you in those times of sorrow. And I can't blame you when you fall over the rails. We can't blame each other when we sleep on the job, because Peter, who walked with Jesus, slept before Jesus. Jesus comes back and he says to them, couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And Jesus says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many times have we told people, I would love to do it. I would love to do it, but I'm fatigued. I would love to come for the all-night prayer, but my body, Pastor, my body is weak. But I want you to know this morning that we can look to Jesus, the greatest example of a believer on earth. Jesus is the perfect example of how to be a believer, and he teaches us that no matter how dire our situation is, we can still have something in us to pray. I want to challenge you today. Don't give in to sorrow to a point where you sleep through your sorrow. If you look deep down inside of you, there's still just 1 ounce of strength that will enable you to go on your knees. We underestimate the willpower of a human being. And I want you to see that in those moments where you feel like you cannot do this anymore. When you think you cannot do it anymore, you know you still have an ability to do it. Amen. Jesus decided, I am not going to allow destiny to be shaped by something else. I have a moment right now that I can be party to shaping destiny. Amen. Your child has been off the rail for a long time. Are you going to allow somebody else to shape the future of your child? No. Jesus had to decide between his will and the will of his Father. And it was in prayer that he was able to submit to the will of the Father. Look at verse 36. He says, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. You will never come to a place of letting go unless you pray. As long as you're still doing things and looking for advice from all quarters, you'll never come to a place where you say, I don't like doing this, but I'll do it because you say so. When you go into the book of Luke, you will see another detail that Mark doesn't give us. In Luke 22, verse 43, The Bible says, then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. See the power of prayer. When we pray, we tap into angelic dimensions. Where the Father in heaven releases a supernatural ability for you to come out of your situation. An angel of the Lord came down and strengthened him. Listen, the Father is faithful. He was faithful with his son. He saw that he cannot take this by himself. I need to do something. And listen, when you are a prayerful person and you're so humble in prayer, the Father will come down and intervene in your situation. He looked at his son and he said, unless I intervene, this mission will be aborted. An angel was sent and Jesus was strengthened. And today I want you to know that God remains faithful. He will strengthen you. Only if you can be found in a place of prayer and not in a place of slumber. I see a lot of believers who are under the spirit of slumber. Where they're going through so much in their lives, but there's no prayer going on. There's nothing that can help you other than prayer. The disciples did not understand what it needed for them to walk with Jesus. I want you to see something here, that Jesus overcame the cross, not because he was physically strong, but because he was spiritually strong. The cross was not overcome because Jesus was a strong man. He had been going to the gym for all the 33 years of his life, and therefore he was strong enough to carry the cross. No, his spirit man was strong enough to take him all the way to the cross. Your situation does not need man-made ideas. It needs the Spirit of the Lord to come and strengthen you. So what is your choice? In your situation right now that you are facing, what is your choice? What are you going to choose? You can choose to sleep. But prayer will do you good. Prayer will change your situation. Glory be to God. Now, sometimes we think prayer will change the mind of God. No, prayer changes us. In order to bring us to a place where we align ourselves with divine purpose. Let's take this further out. We are leaving the garden. In Mark 14 verse 45, the Bible says, and coming, this is now Judas, at once drawing near to him, he said, Rabbi, Rabbi. And he ardently kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and seized him. And one of those standing by, drawing a sword, struck a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Talk about zeal. Now it looked like whatever happened in the garden, as Jesus prayed, gave him a supernatural boldness. That when they came and approached Jesus, he did not try to run away. He actually said, hey guys, who are you looking for? And Judas came and kissed Jesus and betrayed him with a kiss. Now I want you to see something here. Yes, Jesus had prayed, but he was still required to behave in line with his prayer. Many times we pray one thing, we do another thing. Then we wonder why our lives are not making progress. In the prayer time, he understood that the cross had not been removed. The cross was coming, and therefore he must align himself with divine purpose. So when Judas came, Jesus did not try to run away. In that time of prayer where he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done, he relinquished control. And his actions needed to remain aligned with that submission. We pray and the Lord speaks to us, but we still do what we want. And again, Jesus and his disciples are confronted with two choices, either to submit to divine purpose or to run away from it. When the betrayer came, he found a Jesus who was ready to finish the work. You see, somebody says you need to pray before you face a situation. Because by the time the situation comes, it's not time to pray. It's time to act. It's time to act in line with what you are praying about. Young people, you don't pray when you are ready to date or to court somebody. You pray way before. Right now, when you are 16, pray for your spouse. So that when the time comes, your mind is so clear as to what you are looking for. Because when you start praying, emotions will take over in the moment of decision. When the betrayer came, he found a Jesus who was ready to finish the work. But he found disciples who were so detached from the moment. What is the principle? Divine purpose prevails when submission overcomes resistance. Divine purpose prevails when submission trumps resistance. Because when it comes to the things of God, we either submit to God's will or we resist it. And Jesus was one who submitted because when he faced that moment, he was already submitted in prayer. Can I say this to you? That Jesus did not die on the cross. He died in the garden. Let me try and restate that. I'm not going off with false theology here. The death on the cross was already achieved in the garden. In fact, before the garden, in John 17, where he said, "Father, I have accomplished what you sent me to do." In John 17, when he was praying for his disciples, he says, "Father, I have glorified you on earth. Therefore, glorify your Son with the same glory that we had before I came down." So what you see in the front here is a picture of what happened last night. What we deliver here right now is a reflection of what happened in the week. You're not going to come try and preach here where you haven't been preaching to yourself the whole week. So in the garden, when Jesus said to the Father, in fact, when you look at the book of Luke, it talks about how the drops of his sweat were like drops of blood. That was a moment of death. That was a moment of surrender. A moment of letting go. By the time he walked in front of Pilate and the religious leaders, he was a dead man walking. He was even saying, "Get this done quickly, because I'm a dead man walking." The moment we are in prayer long enough, we die to self. Then the Father has an easy way of leading a dead man. That's why the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, as your only reasonable service unto the Lord." As long as I am alive, there is no way divine purpose can be fulfilled in me and through me. He died in the garden. He gave it all to the Father. And by that time, when he walked out, he wasn't shocked by what Judas did. He wasn't shocked by what Pilate did, because he was ready. He was dead already. So divine purpose prevails when submission overcomes resistance. There is life in submission and death in resistance. The moment we submit, the Bible says anybody who keeps his life, he will lose it. But anyone who loses his life, he will keep it. That's the story of the gospel. But on the other side, Peter was totally misguided because he had not died in prayer. He was very alive. A lot of the mistakes that we make on this earth, it is because we are alive. We are too alive and too active that we run out of the God idea and we run with our own ideas. When Peter saw Judas coming, he did not see divine purpose. He saw an enemy to divine purpose. Do you know that Jesus needed Judas more than he needed Peter? And in our lives, there are times where we need a betrayer more than we need a yes man. Because when you go to Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord was telling the disciples about his death, the Bible says Peter stood up and rebuked the Lord. And he said, Master, you are not going to die like that. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, you don't know what spirit you are speaking of. Get thee behind me. So you find that Jesus needed a Judas for divine purpose to be fulfilled. Now look at what Peter did. John 18 verse 11 gives us that detail. Then Jesus said to Peter, put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Look at what a man who had been praying responds to the situation. He understood that in prayer, the Father did not say, you are not going to drink this cup. But the Father strengthened me to drink the cup. Yeah. But Peter was so asleep that he did not understand what was happening in the spirit. And so Peter thought, this requires a sword. And he pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And Jesus says, Peter, what are you doing? This is what my Father has allowed me to go through. Who are you to stand in line or in opposition to divine purpose? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink? When he prayed, he says, Father, I know all things are possible with you. If it is possible, can this cup pass me by? And I'm sure the Father said, no, the cup is not passing by, but I'll give you strength. For some of us, we need to drink that cup. But we will find strength for us to partake of that cup. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Let me give you another detail. In Matthew 26 verse 53, you won't have this on the slides. The Lord speaks to Peter and says, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? So the Lord Jesus was already in another mode where he was saying, here, I'm not going to fight, I'm going to submit. So your victory is not in your resistance, but in your submission. So divine purpose requires total surrender. Otherwise, we'll call upon 12 legions of angels. The Lord said to him, I can fight these people. In fact, when Jesus, in one of the Gospels, when he spoke and said, who are you looking for? There was so much power in his word that everybody fell back. You go read that, you see that when Jesus spoke, he said, who are you looking for? The power of his voice dropped everybody. Which means if he wanted, he could have just blinded all of them. Or he could make all of them to disappear. But that was not what the Father requested of him. So listen, what you are facing at home does not need resistance, but rather a submission. A submission to the will of God. A submission to the Spirit of God. There is victory in submission and pain in resistance. And this is what Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, where he says that though we are in the world, but we do not fight as the world does. In that moment, it was not a sword that was needed. In that moment, it was submission. And I want you to know that submission is more powerful than resistance. Jesus rebuked Peter for being a hindrance to divine purpose. May we be enablers of divine purpose for our families. May we be enablers of divine purpose for this church. And at this point, Peter and other disciples, when they observed Jesus, you know, Jesus is very interesting. He's a very interesting character because when he told Peter to put back his sword, he then went ahead and picked the ear of this guy and healed him. Jesus, what are you doing? These guys are about to kill you. But he says, this is part and parcel of divine purpose. Even in persecution, I'll do good. He picked up the ear of that guy. And I'm sure that guy looked, and my blood was running, and suddenly nothing, no blood, and the ear is back. Surely this was a miracle good enough for them to say, touch not this man. But because divine purpose had that he's going to die, they did not even see the miracle. That miracle did not touch them. Why? Because divine purpose required for this man to die. Are you getting something this morning? Picked up that ear. Says, I should be cutting your head off, but I'm going to heal your ear. That is where we talk about divine purpose prevails when grace overcomes judgment. That is the theme. Divine purpose prevails when grace overcomes judgment. Where Jesus should have said to Peter, no, you mistake the head off. Come on, I like playing out these things. If I was Jesus, I'm like, hey, Peter, you are useless. Give it to me. I'll finish this guy off. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to heal him. I'm going to heal him. Divine purpose. So Jesus submitted himself all the way to the cross. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 7. Now we're going through. They took Jesus to the religious leaders. They took Jesus to Pilate. They took Jesus to everybody, and none of them found him guilty. But due to expedience, Pilate allowed Jesus to be crucified. The man who said, I find nothing wrong with him. I find nothing wrong with this man. I'm handing you over your king. And the Pharisees said, we don't have a king other than Caesar. What's going on here? Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Lord, why are you not speaking? He spoke in prayer to the Father. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he said to himself, lest I cut in on what God is about to do, I'm not going to talk too much. I'm not going to say too much. I want divine purpose to be fulfilled. There are times in our lives where keeping quiet is better than speaking. Pilate would say to him, why are you not answering me? Don't you know that I have power to set you free? And Jesus answers there and says, hey, listen, there is no power that you have other than that which has been given to you. Ooh, Lord, that's a big jibe. You think you're so powerful? Whatever power you have, it came from my Father. Let it be so for now. You can appear so powerful, but we shall know who is more powerful. When divine purpose has been fulfilled, glory be to God. And they took Jesus and they brought him to the cross. The Bible says in Luke 23 verse 45, I want you to see something, the power of submission. The power of submission. We see it right through. In Luke 23 verse 45, the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Submission. You know, people say these things in a leisurely way, but it is the truth that Jesus was not killed. He allowed himself to die. He submitted himself. That is why in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says he obeyed to the point of death. So then Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. This moment felt like the end. Everybody who had run away, they thought, guys, this man was a fake. Because if he was the Messiah, he should have come down from the cross. But little do they know that there is a plan to whatever you are going through. Hallelujah. The power of God is shown in our weaknesses. In the moment where Jesus looked weak, and everybody was saying he is a weak man. They even said this man healed others. This man raised people from the dead. Why doesn't he take himself off the cross? He looked weak. Listen, in divine purposes, there are times where it looks like you are weak. It will look like you have lost it. But I want you to know that behind every divine purpose, there is power. The power of God is at work to ensure that divine purpose is fulfilled. If God has called you, he is powerful enough to ensure that that calling becomes a reality. Amen. Not your power. Amen. There is a power in God that ensures that his divine purposes will be fulfilled in our lives. Amen. And this is the story of the resurrection. And Joseph came and took the body of Jesus, buried it, and shut the tomb. And to everybody, this was done. To everybody, this man was not real. But I want you to know that deep down in the hearts of the political leaders and the religious leaders, there was something simmering. They're like, ish, I can't wait for the third day to go so that surely this guy will know that he was a fake. That is why they even posted guards and they tried to seal so that nothing would try and move this guy. Listen, when divine purpose is to be fulfilled, nothing will stop it from being fulfilled. When an idea has come to its time of being fulfilled, the Lord will make it happen. And we see Mary and the two Marys going to the tomb early in the morning. On a Sunday morning, and they're hoping to find Jesus and to cover him with spices to preserve his body. But when they got there, the Bible says Jesus was not in the tomb. And divine purpose had been fulfilled. I want you to understand this morning that there is nothing that God cannot do. When God says something, he would do it. When Jesus was walking on earth, he would say things like, destroy this temple, and after 3 days, I will build it. He would say things like, the only sign that you will get is the sign of Jonah, who was in a whale's belly for 3 days. That is the only sign that you will get. And he was busy insinuating that you can do whatever you want with me, but after 3 days, I'm coming back to life. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells us that if the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in our lives, that same power will mortify our physical bodies. Put this down as we finish. The resurrection is what distinguishes Jesus from any other great leader. He is alive. Glory be to God. All others died, but none of them were able to conquer the grave. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this morning, I want us to be reminded that when you walk with the Lord, there will always be a resurrection. There will always be a comeback. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we have hope for our children. We have hope for our marriages. We have hope for our businesses. We have hope for our financial situation. Why? He is alive. Glory be to God. Now, as I finish, Jesus is alive because, number one, he devoted himself to divine purpose. Remember, we said, divine purpose prevails when devotion overcomes disloyalty. Jesus is alive because he was gracious. All the way, he showed grace. Jesus is alive. Why? Because he is humble. Jesus is alive. Why? Because he enabled divine purpose to happen through prayer. And finally, he submitted himself to the point of death. And I can tell you, if you can walk through these 5 things in our lives, we position ourselves to see the purposes of God being fulfilled in our lives. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Devotion is required. When you are devoted to what God has called you to do, it doesn't matter how long it takes. If God has called you to a ministry, we've got to stick it out because divine purpose will be fulfilled. The one who called you is faithful. That's the conviction I have. In this regard, I don't know what is going on in your heart right now. I want you to understand that divine purpose will not fail you. And I want us to stand on our feet today as we remember the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. And I want you to realize that because He is alive, we know that there is somebody who is praying and interceding for us. I might not pray for you, but your Lord is praying for you. We might not be faithful in standing with you, but He says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He says in John 16 verse 33, in this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that is the story. The resurrection is the story. He overcame death. So I want us to pray right now with this assurance and say, Lord, I thank you for this remembrance. We are being reminded today that He is alive. And because He's alive, we have hope. I was at a festival yesterday with my family and we just saw hordes of young people, teenagers, thousands of them. And my heart says, will my kids survive in this environment? Will my son survive in this environment? But I want you to know, as we were praying this morning with my wife, we had one conclusion. What will make them survive is when they have an encounter with the Lord. That is where hope is for your children. That is where hope is for what you're facing right now. When you encounter the resurrected King, nothing is impossible. Come on, let's just pray. Let's pray through this word today. Let it be a moment in our lives where we are reminded that we are more than conquerors. Oh, yes, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Shebahasi kamala gosoto. My God and my Father, we pray today, Baba, where we are given to resisting the truth, I pray that we will be submitted to the truth. Father God, in those moments of weakness, let us be like Jesus, who went into prayer. He went into prayer. He cried out to the Father, and the Father was faithful. I pray today in the name of Jesus, deliver us from the spirit of slumber. Deliver us, Lord, from the spirit of laziness. Father, where we are lazy in our times of sorrow, Father, we pray that we would listen to the voice of the living God. We silence the lies of the enemy regarding how to deal with our challenges. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning that you would come by your spirit, Father. You would help us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, come and do what you alone can do in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that we would submit to divine purpose, Lord. I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that we're walking in humility, oh God. Father, I pray that we are not too strong even for God to come and help us. Your word tells us that your strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd help us, that we come. That even as Jesus came and says, Lord, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup pass me by. Father, we pray this morning in the name of Jesus that you'd help us by your spirit, oh God. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. Father, we just declare resurrection life. Father, we pray for resurrection this morning. Every one of your people, Father, that are facing death in one way or another, we pray for resurrection life, resurrection power this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, you raised Jesus who was dead 3 days. Father, you are able to raise our situation that has been dead for a long time. Father, we look to you, oh God. That same power is at work in us right now. We ask you, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd come and have your way. In the name of Jesus. With every eye closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to encounter divine purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All of this that we are talking about, it is for salvation. The greatest miracle that you will experience is for the saving of your soul, where you move from death to life. And so if you are here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I want to believe in Jesus and I want to accept Him in my life as my Lord and personal Savior, this is the moment. And if you're here today and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to lift up your hands and I want to pray with you right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody who wants to give their lives to the Lord, who wants to accept Jesus as His Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you this morning for salvation. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and that your death was not in vain. And we are all here today because you died for us on the cross. Father, we commit the rest of this weekend into your hands. We pray that you will continue ministering to us about the power of the cross, about the power of the resurrection, Lord. We give you glory and give you honor in the name of Jesus. And everybody saying,